The marketplace lead is about possible antitrust charges against the Russian state-owned gas giant Gazprom. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Gazprom of Russia could face formal antitrust charges in the European Union. Several published reports say that confirmation could come as early as tomorrow. Gazprom is a major supplier of natural gas to Western Europe, and charges could further curdle already soured relations between the EU and Russia following the crisis in Ukraine. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is following this for us from London. Morning to you, Russell.
Good morning to you, David.
What is the suggestion about what the European Union is thinking regarding Gazprom?
Well, this is an antitrust matter, or breaking competition rules, as we call it here in Europe. In countries like Lithuania, Estonia, Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Hungary and Latvia, let's not forget about Poland and Slovakia as well, it believes that agents that buy gas in these countries from Gazprom, the Russian gas giant, are being charged too much. And the Russian company is basically abusing its dominance in the market.
Russell, do you see politics here? I mean, Gazprom is the Russian state-owned company that has been toward the center of pressure on Ukraine to listen to Moscow a little bit more.
In one way, the European Union probably didn't want to go this far. We have a rather strong new character now as the competition commissioner in Brussels, Margrethe Vestager, is very willing to stand up to these giant corporations. She recently stood up against Google. Now it appears the European Union, through her, is willing to stand up against Gazprom, even if there are going to be some sort of political ramifications because of the ongoing dispute over Russia's involvement in eastern Ukraine.
The BBC's Russell Padmore following this for us from London. Russell, thank you.
David, thanks.
Closer to home, Bluebell makes ice cream. It distributes to 23 states and internationally. Last night, the family-owned Texas company asked distributors to send it all back after tests found two samples with Listeria, a potentially deadly bacterium. Bluebell can't say just how the germs got into the chocolate chip cookie dough variety, but the recall involves all flavors. Now let's check numbers. The FTSE 100 in London is down a tenth percent. S&P Dow and NASDAQ futures are up after the Dow's 208-point rise yesterday. We're getting closer to the driverless car. Technology to help prevent front-end crashes is now available on some fancier new cars, including Mercedes, Volvo, and Cadillac. But in a price range that is a notch lower than those luxury brands, Subaru's version is called EyeSight. Sarah Gardner reports on the semi-robot car.
EyeSight isn't standard equipment on new Subarus. It's an optional feature that costs about $1,400. But the car maker's Dominic Infante says over 40% of their new car buyers are paying for it.
There are two cameras mounted inside the car with you. They monitor traffic, pedestrians. They actually can see the lines on the road in front of you. They alert you if you're swaying in and out of those lines.
Or getting too close to the car in front of you. Then EyeSight hits the brakes on your behalf. For the sleepy, spacey, or distracted, this could be a godsend. David Zuby at the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says this smart car tech is making driving safer.
We highly recommend that people consider purchasing these optional technologies because our analyses show that they reduce crashes with other vehicles by up to 15% or 20%.
Auto insurers are apparently taking notice. Progressive, for one, has said it's beginning to lower rates on cars equipped with the technology. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And now the man who spotted what he believed was persistent fraud by his employer and chose to report it to the SEC. The man's name is Tony Menendez, and his employer was Halliburton. Menendez's decision to do what he considered to be the right thing plunged his life into legal purgatory for almost a decade. In association with ProPublica, Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Tony Menendez was hired by Halliburton basically to be Smokey the Bear.
Someone that was going to come in and smoke out problems. I was sold.
Now, when he actually did that in 2005 over some accounting that he thought was fraudulent...
It wasn't well received.
He ended up complaining to the SEC. Halliburton learned about that. It told Tony's coworkers, and Tony eventually had to resign. The SEC started its investigation, but he never heard from them again.
They weren't investigating.
James Ridding was one of Tony's lawyers. He's with Hilder & Associates, which represented the Enron whistleblower, too.
They didn't go down and interview people who were willing to be interviewed. They didn't hold Tony back up to let him answer questions. They just, as far as I could tell, took the easy way out. and that was to let things lie and not tackle a big corporation.
Ridding and Menendez say the SEC essentially allowed Halliburton to investigate itself. After several months, it dropped the case. It didn't exonerate Halliburton, and it didn't say Tony Menendez was wrong, just that it wasn't going to file charges.
The SEC today is a much stronger and sophisticated organization than it was in 2005 and 2006 and 7.
Jordan Thomas does whistleblower law for Labaton Susharo, and he's a former assistant director in the enforcement division of the SEC.
At that time, the SEC did not have specific training on working with whistleblowers. It did not have legal authority to prosecute retaliation.
Dodd-Frank changed a lot of that. Whistleblowers can even get financial incentives for reporting now, but that doesn't make being a whistleblower easy.
It continues to be one of the most difficult decisions, personal or professional, that individuals often have to make, whether to come forward and report wrongdoing or remain silent.
It took Tony Menendez 9 years to win in court against Halliburton for outing him as a whistleblower. In New York, I'm Sabri Benashour for Marketplace.
The Tony Menendez Odyssey is the center of an extensive report by ProPublica's Jesse Eisinger. You can read it online at ProPublica and hear more this afternoon on Marketplace's PM program. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.